So how do we as Christians respond to a very heated political issue? As you know, our country's in the midst of one of the most significant court cases in the last 50 years. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, how do we navigate this by our faith? Most of us have political opinions, political leanings, and we might fall on a political spectrum by which we are pro-life or pro-abortion. But the reality is, as a follower of Jesus, there's something that's bigger than politics, right, Dan? I'm Ben. I'm here with Dan. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship Church. We began this conversation last time, and Dan, we really spoke mostly about abortion and the laws through the political lens. But the reality, and we dabbled with this a little bit, understanding that, you know, we have to raise up children to think differently about abortion. And this is bigger than just a political issue. Abortion is not merely a political issue. It is a moral, it is a biblical issue because it deals with human life. It deals with one of the basic premises of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. And so anytime someone wants to take life, it becomes an important issue for us as followers of Jesus. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of conversations about this. People are going to be hearing a lot of talking heads on Fox News, on CNN, on podcasts. How do we as Christians increase our biblical perspective on this issue without getting lost in the just purely the political? You know what I'm saying? What are some things that we can do to make sure that we are being grounded in our convictions?
Well, I think, first of all, I would challenge the notion that simply because it's political, and I'm not saying you're saying this, by the way, because it's political that Christians really should not address it. I believe Christians should be active politically.
Absolutely.
I believe it is a matter of stewardship. We've been given this privilege, this right, this resource in America to vote and to speak our conscience and to speak our mind. And we should not allow the intimidation of noisy people on the left or the right silence our responsibility to be salt and light for truth.
That's right.
I think many Christians are doing out of some misguided idea that we speak peace when we speak nothing.
It's almost like, I don't want to get political.
Yeah. and to which I say, in what other areas are you a coward about?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and when you speak to issues of right and wrong, when you speak to absolutes, you're going to offend.
Yeah.
The question is, do we need to be offensive? I believe that abortion is murder, but you won't find me saying to the woman who's had an abortion, you're a murderer.
Correct.
I may say that about the doctor, but I won't say that about that because I don't know their heart and I don't know their intent. I don't know the level of even mental capacity at that whatever. But I would simply say, by every definition, when you take the life of someone who is innocent, look it up. It is by definition murder. And to be able to say that in a way, I think we just need to avoid some of the euphemisms, which is why I don't say it's a matter of choice. No, doing right and doing wrong is not a matter of choice. It's a matter of right and wrong. And it's not right to choose to do wrong morally. Now, it may be legally, but not everything that is legal is moral or ethical.
Right.
And we have to be able to speak to some extent the difference between moral law, natural law, ethical law, spiritual law, all those different things. And that's where I think as Christians we have an opportunity to contribute to a debate that has become very flat.
Yeah.
This isn't just about women's rights, because 50% of the children that are aborted are women.
Mm.
And I'm not going to be lectured about women's rights by people who can't even define what a woman is these days. So I'm serious about that. I mean, it's absurd. But these are the consequences of when you remove yourself from absolute truth. When you remove yourself from absolute truth, women and men are no longer women and men. And right is no longer wrong, right, and wrong is no longer wrong, and life is no longer sacred, and a whole bunch of other ramifications. This is the great philosophical battle of postmodernism,
and it really comes down to this idea that the American system would have never been created apart from a theistic worldview.
Totally, the Judeo-Christian founding of this nation.
And again, I'm not saying that America is a Christian nation. Please don't hear me. I'm not saying it. We're a Christian nation. What I am saying
we're
is
we're pluralistic, but we've taken the pluralism to an extreme that it excises people of faith.
There's a theistic framework by which the founding fathers believed in something, that there was a there was a higher law that existed beyond human law.
Yeah, and you know, if we took the time to study history the way that today they're indoctrinating on this worldview and philosophy, we'd actually know what we're talking about when we're doing that. But today, many of our people are spitting out sound bites that are coming off of emails and Twitter posts.
TikTok.
And TikTok that are absolutely superficial, and yet a lie repeated often enough sounds like a truth to many people. So that's where I think the Christian has the opportunity to step forward. And the other thing, too, is I think we ought to challenge bogus arguments, false dichotomies, all the tactics that are going out there. For instance, you know, one of the favorite is, well, evangelicals only care about life before birth. Hogwash. That is absolute poppycock.
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, watch your language, Dan. Watch your language. Come on now.
Yeah, very British now. All of a sudden. Balderdash. No, the reality is, I know thousands of evangelical Christians who have adopted at-risk babies that were not perfect Gerber babies. They were broken. They were hurting. They were fetal alcohol. They were handicapped.
It was not for churches today, the homeless situation, the abuse situation, like. There are so many things that feeding.
How many hospitals have a denominational name on them? Baptist, Presbyterian,
feeding,
Catholic,
feeding
Jewish.
Feeding the poor, helping the homeless. Yeah. Like there, if that went away tomorrow, there would be a crisis of proportions that the U.S. government would have no idea.
Absolutely could not
how to fix.
Could not begin to address it. There's not enough money printed in Philadelphia to be able to address it. So these are. But again. You know, you get some 22-year-old college senior out there spouting it on CNBC or MSNBC, you know, looking all perky and smart, and she really just doesn't know what she's talking about. Mm. Of course, you get the other crazies on the other side, too. I'm an equal opportunity disdainer of cable news. But I would simply say this. As Christians, we need to double down. We need to double down on foster care. We need to double down on adoption. We need to double down on crisis pregnancy centers. We also need to double down on the fact that morality matters. That free sex has consequences.
Yeah.
That literally one of the ramifications of breaking God's plan for sexual expression within a marriage between a man and a woman committed to each other for a lifetime until death do they part, one of the consequences is unplanned, even unwanted pregnancies.
Yes.
At inconvenient times among people who may not be able to care for that child.
Yeah.
It is a consequence of a wrong, unbiblical, dangerous choice for many people.
Yes.
And in the end, we are going to have mercy and compassion and grace toward those babies, and we're going to love them and care for them. The option to murder them is not one that should be on the table. That child never asked to be conceived.
I remember when I was working, when I was I did an internship with you back in the summer of 1997. Okay, so this is many moons ago.
Several.
And I was a summer intern at your church in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I had the role of doing the youth group during the summertime. And so, you know, I would do some discussion things. And I remember one time talking about hard situations. What would you do if your faith was tested? And the issue of... you know, what would happen? What would you do if someone you knew got pregnant? And this one girl, I can't remember if she was a sophomore or junior. She's like, I know what I'm supposed to say here. I know I'm supposed to say that, you know, I would choose life. But I'm just telling you right now, if I got pregnant, I would get an abortion.
Yeah.
And you think about that. Like, here's a girl who's gone to Christian school her whole life, is a part of a Christian church. I mean, she's in a very strong Bible believing. I'm sure she came from a great home, but she just told me flat out, I know what the Bible says. I know what's right or wrong, but I'm just telling you right now, I would choose this.
Not only did that happen theoretically, I know in that church where I was the pastor that it happened in reality.
Yeah.
It literally happened. And when I became aware of that, it was an important moment for me, because from that day to this day, I have always tried to emphasize, and I would say every parent needs to emphasize this as well to their daughters or their sons, that if you become an unexpected parent and there's a pregnancy that has been discovered that is because you've chosen unbiblically and unwisely, and you know that I'm going to be disappointed or heartbroken. Do not make a bad matter worse.
Worse. That's right.
By doing something else.
Yes.
Here's what you'll find me do. Mm. I will cry. Mm-hmm. I will be disappointed. But I will love you, mm-hmm. and I will walk with you in this moment, and we will turn what Satan meant for evil into something that God will use for good. We have to communicate that from the church, but more importantly, from the parents as well.
Yes, I think there is a strong disconnect between people that say, you know, I'm this, but when the moment gets tested, that's where your true convictions show up. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said is when we're going to stay true to our convictions, we have to understand that the church is going to be, it should be a place of love and grace. Mm-hmm. It should be a place where, we're going to teach the truth. We're going to hold to the truth. We're not going to compromise the truth. But we're also going to be a church that loves people no matter what situation they're in. And if someone makes a decision like that, and of course they're going to regret those things. But like you said, they don't, at some point you have to say, I'm going to start making the right decision.
Yeah.
And I think this issue of abortion hits home for a lot of people, because I remember going down to the abortion clinic. There was a season which my wife did a lot of sidewalk counseling down there. About once a week, she'd go down there. And by God's grace, we saw God use her to rescue children. I mean, it was like mm-hmm. mom's going down there. She talked them out of it. And it was just an amazing opportunity to see my wife do those kinds of things. But I can't tell you how many times I would see cars with church bumper stickers pull into La Trobe Clinic.
Amazing.
Yeah. It got to the point where you're sick to your stomach, because you're like, what is going on in our churches mm-hmm. that you know, they're just pulling up and just having this murder take place, mm-hmm. you know? And you almost want to call the pastor of these churches and be like, you need to get down here, because you got someone from your church in this abortion clinic.
In crisis. Yep.
You know? But I think that was the thing that struck me, is that I think parents, young people, we can talk all we want to about what we know or what we believe is right, but when that moment gets tested, that's when the convictions become concrete.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important for us as followers of Jesus.
And that's why I think it's really important that the church play the dual role of the law and grace. Mm. We need to speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love,
that's right.
but to speak the truth.
Yeah.
I think a lot of churches are missing the boat by not speaking up again. I mean, I know evangelical churches in our community that refuse to address the issue of abortion because it's controversial. Mm. And I wouldn't darken the door of that church, quite mm-hmm. frankly, mm-hmm. Simply because if you're going to be wishy-washy on something so fundamental as that, you'll be wishy-washy on a lot of other things that are important to me as well.
Yeah.
But it is, don't stand judged by others who say it's hypocritical to, to teach abstinence and be pro, you know, pro-life or mm-hmm. let me say this to you. When we all drive, we know this. If you violate the speed limit, you're going to get a ticket. If you do it often enough, you're going to lose your license. Your insurance is going to go up. Mm. There are warning signs. There are cops. There are speed traps. There are radar guns. There are all kinds of ways that warn us, do
yes.
not speed.
Yes.
But if you speed and you have an accident, the same government that will write you a ticket will also send you an ambulance. They'll do it, right? They will take you down to the hospital, and they will patch you up, and they
yes.
will send you on your way, and they'll try to get you better.
Yeah.
And that is the same way the church ought to be. We need to warn people about the dangers of sin. We need to be able to put up every warning sign. We need to use every tool on our behalf to protect our folks and to emphasize the truth. And if somebody ignores that and falls into sin, then we send the ambulance.
Yeah.
And that's both sides of the coin, and we ought not lose sight of that.
There's something else I think is important. I know we're, our time's running out here quickly, but I do think, let me just say this, I don't think that as Christians we should be taking any victory laps on social media right now.
No, I don't think
as much as I rejoice with the Dobbs case influencing, I think, what should have never happened 50 years ago, right? But the reality is the hard work of loving people, hearts are not going to change by a Supreme Court ruling decision.
Right.
We've got the hard work of loving our neighbors, loving people that are close to us, sharing Jesus with them, taking them to God's word. If we want to see people become pro-life, people become pro-life when they become born again. I'm a firm believer of that.
Yep.
In having debates online or arguments online and thumping your chest or getting into some, you know, just getting into the mud in the muck of Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you're never going to convince anybody to change their position unless you're Josh Brohm. He's the only guy I know that's ever been able to do this. but most people do not have a huge impact on changing perspectives, changing convictions on social media.
Right. And social media is the pox on our nation's conscience right now. I would say this. I don't think we should hide our view.
No, I don't think so.
But I don't think we need to boast in the decision because, again, the best estimate I've seen so far is that if this happens, it'll reduce abortions by about 13%. In other words, there's still going to be millions of babies that are murdered in this nation.
Wow.
So it's just a reality. This is just one more skirmish in a long war. I would say this to our listeners. I think it is particularly important that you vote and participate in the political process in a way that reflects your morality and your values. Mm. Our culture right now is very, I mean, there is a culture war going on. There was one in the 70s and 80s, but it's nothing like the one here.
That's right.
And quite frankly, we're losing this one on many levels. And it's because it's not just about laws and court decisions right now. This is about corporate policy and all kinds of other things. And every major institution apart from the church, and even in some churches, it's squishy, have abandoned a biblical worldview and are now openly hostile to a worldview. Education, entertainment, law, all of it. Mm. But with that in mind, elections are gaining more and more importance on the short term. And the balance of power is so evenly divided now, every vote matters. Every vote counts. And the decisions that are coming out of courts that are appointed by political parties are significant. And it's difficult because so much of the political process is corrupt and it's being led by people I absolutely abhor. But we, again, I'll preach to myself here, sometimes we cannot lose sight of the forest for the trees and realize, I will say this, I will not vote for every Republican, but I will never vote for a Democrat that says I'm pro-abortion. It violates my fundamental standard. It is a litmus test with me. Now, it's not for everybody, and that's your business between you and God. But for Burrell, it is a litmus test. So I find myself almost never voting for a Democrat because of
the pro-life
issue. Now, however, I sometimes don't vote for pro-life or alleged pro-life Republicans or independents or libertarians simply because of other issues. But on this, my litmus test is if you're not pro-life, you don't get
my vote. You're never crossing the picket line to vote for someone who's pro-abortion.
Right. And
that's never happening.
The only time that might happen is if they're running for, you know, like land management, you know, commissioner or something like that, that has no,
they make no policy.
Yeah, make no policy. I don't even care where they stand.
Yeah.
But here's the issue. Educate yourself and vote your values. And I would say this, vote your values, not your pocketbook. And so many of us end up, well, the economy's going great. I'm just going to keep putting the same people in. The economy's going bad. I'm going to vote everybody out. And that to me shows the idolatry of money in this country and also the ignorance of most of us as it relates to how little or how much the government can control the economy in a free market. But I would say this. This next election is important. It's a big one. And I think every election is important and big.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody always says, well, this is the most important election we've had in 100 years.
Well, I've heard that every 2 years.
Every 2 years, our entire life, right? But I do believe this is very, very important. If there is ever a moment when the reins of power are fully ensconced in the hands of an anti-biblical worldview, the amount of damage that can be done in a very short amount of time may be unrecoverable in our nation. And I don't think I'm being overly dramatic about this. I think we're so closely divided and we're so completely fractionalized and energized on the extremes at this point that there is significant danger to that. I've always been a proponent that, you know, a constipated government's a good government because they just don't do much.
And, every time they're like, no one's been able to pass laws. I'm like, praise the Lord.
Yes. Go back home. You know, people are always saying, they take too many vacations. I'm like, they don't take enough vacations. Go back home. But no, I do think this. Don't buy into the idea that Christians somehow, because we're people of faith, have a lesser or a less important voice, or that you should leave your faith at home as you drive to the polling place. No, I go to polling place because of my faith, in spite of it. And I would urge our folks, speak to life. Know who's running for office, even at the local level. School board issues are important issues, and then sometimes they impact your family more than national ones.
That's right.
Get involved. Run for office if you feel energized to do so. It's part of being salt, and it's part of being light. Speak the truth, but speak it with love. And don't gloat, and don't be part of the fringe elements who seem to take joy in stridency. It's fine to be militant, but it's never fine to be strident. Mm. And militant means, yeah, I'm absolutely unmovable in my position on moral issues or certain issues. But stridency means I'm being ugly about it. So I don't think it's biblical to be strident. I do think it's important that we know what we believe and that that belief impacts every decision we make, whether it's a private decision in our own home or whether it's a public decision on the internet or whether it's what we do in a ballot box.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're behaving biblically.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Life Talks. I know we talked about some heavy things and really some things that hopefully we can reflect on and ask ourselves the hard questions about our own convictions. And we hope and pray that you move beyond just the political ways in which we think and also think about the biblical ways in which we should be thinking. Let the Word of God shape us the way it needs to. Thanks again for joining us today on Life Talks, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.